Hi there. We're so glad you found the Fabric Podcast. Before you start listening, we wanted to let you know that this is one of our earlier episodes where our show was called The Check-In. On these episodes, we talk about the company, giving you insight into who we are and what we do. But in 2019, we realized we really want to focus more on company culture. So we refocused and renamed the podcast. So just a heads up that this earlier episode is still us, the team from The Receptionist, but just with a different show name and a slightly different focus. Thanks for listening. Have you ever attended staff meetings that suck? I bet you have. I once spent several years of my life attending three-hour weekly staff meetings. Yes, you heard that right. 3 hours every week. It was miserable. But don't worry, that's not how The Receptionist does things. They make sure that their all-staff meetings do not suck, and we talked about a lot of ways that they do that. From creating agendas ahead of time and publishing those so that people know what they're walking into, to making sure that everyone within the room is holding each other accountable for staying on track, to creating an environment that feels safe so that people can share their ideas or have some of those tough conversations that really do need to be had at some of those meetings. Everyone wants to make sure that the core values of Fabric, fun, authentic, bold, respectful, innovative, and collaborative, are lived out within these all-staff meetings as well. So we're joined by Jessica Marshall, Director of Customer Experience, and DeLynn Berry, Director of Engineering, as they give us some insight into why people get so frustrated about these meetings to begin with, and some really great ways to help improve the staff meetings that you're having. Well, I am so excited to have Jessica Marshall and DeLynn Berry with us today. Before we get into our topic that I am really excited about, let's talk more about who you are. Jessica, tell us a bit about what you do at The Receptionist.
Sure. I am the Director of Customer Experience. I was the first hire for The Receptionist, and I was brought on really to manage support, and that morphed over time from managing support to really establishing a very customer-centric, radical support, customer experience kind of company. And I just passed, I think, my 3.5-year mark with The Receptionist.
Yeah, that's exciting that you were the first hire. Did you get, an official plaque or something for that?
I don't. But every year when it rolls around, I feel awfully special.
Good. That's exciting. And DeLynn, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do at the company.
Yeah, sure thing. So I am the Director of Engineering at The Receptionist. I was the second hire that Andy made, and I came in to kind of oversee the product, shepherd it into the direction that it's at. Jessica and I are both very passionate about customer experience and customers in general. So we bonded right away, and I think have been a great partnership. So just make sure that that kind of bleeds through the entire core of the company.
That's great. And if plaques were given out for when people were hired, you would get the second largest plaque or the second nicest plaque.
That's right. That's right.
And that's great. And one of the things that, I've learned about The Receptionist is how people really do work together within the company. Departments that in bigger companies you would think would be so separate really are connected within your company. And so I love that you're both here to talk to us today about how you make your all-staff meetings not suck. Because let's face it, they can be pretty terrible. Why do you each think that people tend to dread staff meetings? And why do they become such a big waste of time? Jessica, what do you think?
Staff meetings feel like they're taking away from doing the work you're supposed to be doing, right? It always feels like, but I have things to do. Why am I sitting here if I have other things to do? It's not seen as, I think, an equally important part of doing daily business. It feels like you're just sitting there sometimes. Why am I here? I sort of hate the why am I here syndrome. Was I really supposed to be here? Why am I having to listen to this today?
Yes, I agree. I used to work at a university and we had weekly 3-hour meetings.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, right? Yes. 3-hour team meetings with 5 people. It was ridiculous. It was a holdover from a previous generation that no one could seem to get rid of. And it was a waste of time. And you would sit there and
ask
yourself,
brutal.
Yeah. And you'd sit there, you would think, why am I here? And really, we just wasted time because we felt like we are going to be here 3 hours. No one would, cut it early. And we wasted time and no one wanted to be there. So I feel the pain for anyone who has to deal with any type of meeting, and hopefully no one's sitting in a 3-hour team meeting. So DeLynn, what are your thoughts? Why do people dread these meetings so much? And why do they become such a big waste of time for people?
So I think another part that really impacts people and kind of plays off of this, why am I here, is then they don't get to participate and they don't feel safe participating in a lot of cases. They worry that their idea might be judged, or they might think that they're the only one who might be thinking this when chances are actually multiple people are probably thinking it. And I think that comes from, like, the leaders of the meeting often don't have agenda items and make meetings a safe space too. And so that's something that I think helps meetings suck.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point. You've got a leader who says, I want to hear what you have to say. But then if you're criticized for those, or there's not support of those ideas, that would feel really a not good situation to be in. On the one hand, people ask for ideas.
Yeah, or if there aren't action items taken from the meeting, you know, someone may say something, but then if the leaders of those meetings don't actually listen to it and say, I'm actually going to follow up with you in the next meeting or tomorrow or whenever, you know, in some time frame, then it gives the employee the sense that, well, if I put something out there, it's just going to be, yeah, quote unquote, listened to right now, but then nothing's actually going to come of it. So why should I say something?
Yes, that's a great point. In those three-hour meetings, we had one individual in particular who would be told ideas of here's what you should be doing or here's some changes for your department. And they would sit there and say, yes, I'll do that. And then there was no accountability. And it was so frustrating for me and others sitting there going, we've had these great ideas that can be applied and they're not happening and no one is holding this person accountable. So then do you get frustrated? And that's not fun. That's terrible when you're feeling
meetings suck.
There's so many reasons. Anything else we haven't touched on of why meetings suck? I mean, I would say no food typically, right? There's no food at these meetings. that's no fun. But anything else that you can point to? And I'm sure this isn't happening at the receptionist, but probably previous companies you've been with that have made your team meetings suck.
You know, I think to your point about this three-hour meeting, it was a holdover from something else. And I don't think anybody in that meeting felt safe enough to speak up and say, why are we still doing this? Why is this going poorly week after week? Nobody's going to make a change. All of those things are the very core of a sucky meeting, right? You can't say what you really feel. You know you're going to have to go through it again, and you know that nothing really is going to come out of it in the end.
Yeah, that's the epitome of a sucky meeting. And I remember one time we started late and I got, you know, a dirty look and where were you? And I'm thinking, well, I think I was making my lunch and we don't need this full 3 hours. So really, are you mad at me that I was 5 minutes late? That bleeds over into the other things that you do and how you feel about the people you work with. And that's not so great. So obviously that's not what you all are doing, right? That's not what the receptionist does. So let's talk a little bit about what goes on with your team meetings. So Dylan, talk to us about how that happens.
The very first thing is, with every team meeting, we focus on having an agenda that is put together and published before the meeting starts. It allows everyone to know what the meeting is going to be about. It also allows people to think about things in advance of the meeting. All too often, you know, there'll be a meeting where, you know, you kind of know what it's about, but not really. And you're kind of thinking it's this way. And then you get in the meeting and you find out it's a completely different thing. And so what we found is just having an agenda there really helps lay things out and prepare people for having a good meeting. And then we really encourage every member of the team to call the meeting organizer out if an agenda isn't in place. So that's something that, you know, may sound negative, but we found it to be actually a huge positive. It opens up a spot of accountability for the meetings to ensure that the meetings are a success. And it empowers the people who are attending the meeting to say, hey, I'm not entirely sure what this meeting is about. Can you clarify this for me before so that I know what to prepare for and what to expect in the meeting?
Yeah, I love that because it's not just about having an agenda, right, where you walk into the room and then someone says, here's what we're talking about today. But by publishing that ahead of time, it really gives you time to think and to prepare because it's not enjoyable to sit there and say, well, now we're talking about X. What are your ideas? And you go, right. If I had some time.
If you'd given me more than 10 minutes, I might have had one.
Exactly. I had a couple. So I love that it's not just an agenda, but it's thought out and it's published so that people know what to expect. That's great. Jessica, what else? What else do you guys do that's different?
We had a facilitator for a couple of our really early all-staff meetings that put in place this idea of meeting agreement. And it's something that we implemented immediately. And it also feels like it folds into, you mentioned Fabric, it folds into Fabric so well for us, since Fabric is something that we really intentionally live and breathe and work at the receptionist. meeting agreements allow us to focus. And those agreements are things like technology by exception. So everyone is expected to close their laptop, put their phone down, upside down. You're not going to answer a call. You're not going to answer an email. You're not going to do other things. You're going to focus on this meeting because that's why we're here today. So that's being respectful. That's part of our fabric. We're going to respect one another's time. The other one that I think has been most important to me, we assume positive intent. So meetings can be contentious. We're going to talk about some hard things from time to time. And what we have established is a basis of positive intent. So no one needs to feel like something negative that is being said about that person personally. It's being said because some hard things sometimes need to be said, like, why are we still having this useless 3-hour meeting every week?
Right.
Somebody's going to hear that hard, but it still needs to be said. So if we sort of have this basis of assuming positive intent, we all feel safe to speak up and be our authentic selves and speak our minds. There are a couple of other things, like we really encourage asking questions and making suggestions. We work together. We collaborate. That's an important part of being in the meeting. That's why we have more than one brain. Otherwise, some one person would have just made the decision, right? It's not a collaborative environment. Those are a couple of things. There are a few more I'll probably let the women speak to, but those meeting agreements have made a big difference in how we work together.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've touched on, obviously, so we've mentioned fabric, but for anyone who's not familiar, those are the core values that the receptionist really lives by. And each letter of fabric stands for a word, and that's fun, authentic, bold, respectful, innovative, and collaborative. And you've already touched on how within your meetings, you're working to really address several of those pieces, probably if not all of them. So I'm curious, we're talking about an all staff meeting. How many people tend to be in these meetings at your company?
We are a grand total of 9.
Yeah. So would it be all 9 are there during these meetings, or is anyone, calling in remotely, or is everyone physically sitting in a room?
A little bit of both. We sort of have an in and out policy. You know, Andy comes and goes from his home base in Santa Fe. So it depends. And it really depends on the week. Some weeks we're all together. Some weeks, some of us are remote and calling in. The really big, heavy all staff meetings, like our quarterly review and planning sessions, those we intentionally set as in person.
Right.
So unless, there's a giant Rocky Mountain snowstorm or somebody's terribly sick, we do make the effort to be in person for those.
Yeah, absolutely. And how often are you having these all staff meetings?
That's a good question. We have a couple. We have a daily stand-up meeting. That's every single day.
Oh, wow.
4 out of 5 of those meetings, we post. So that's something that we sort of learned from. We used to do those live every day, and we found that it was sort of more of a hindrance than a bonus. So 4 out of 5 stand-ups we post. One of them every week is live together on the phone or in person. We have a couple of weekly department meetings. Sales, marketing, and leadership meets every week. The biggest ones are our quarterly review and planning meeting. So those are once a quarter.
Yeah, and that makes sense that within a company, you would have different types of meetings, maybe some daily check-ins, the departments would be meeting, and then your bigger get-togethers might be less often. Is there anything about these all-staff meetings that stands out maybe as different from the smaller department meetings? In terms of not making them suck or just making them more fun or meaningful?
I don't know that there is anything that different from them. I think the all hands kind of like quarterly review, they're a little bit more formal, but they still kind of follow the same general pattern. With the staff meetings, if anything, like we've gotten even a little bit more formal than this by we're following something that was introduced with the enterprise operating system, which I think you and Andy talked about in the previous episode,
mm-hmm.
Where they have this thing called a level 10 meeting, which breaks the meeting up into, I think, 5 or 6 different kind of points that's set. So it's kind of a set agenda and you kind of fill things in there. So the staff meetings kind of follow that format, where these all hands meetings follow somewhat similar, but a little bit more loose, and we're trying to be a little bit more collaborative in those like all staff meeting agendas or areas. But for all intents and purposes, like, the meeting agreements stay the same throughout all of the meetings, so that we know that we, like, every meeting has kind of the same feel to it, like time and whether or not there's an agenda, like all of that is present with all of the meetings.
And regardless of how many people are there, what are some things that you do to make sure that these meetings are fun? Obviously, you need to get things done. You need to have some conversations, sometimes tough conversations. But what makes these meetings fun?
Us.
Well,
the people.
So, yeah, true. It really is all of our coworkers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we like to laugh and joke and have a good time. One of the things that we really introduced around that, Jessica mentioned, you know, asking questions and making suggestions, like that leads to like a very highly collaborative meeting that can sometimes kind of go off in the weeds on a tangent or get really passionate about something that everyone's really agreeing with. And so another one of our meeting agreements that we have in place is that helps us really with keeping meetings on time and on schedule is this notion of sold and tangent. Sometimes in a you know, question and answer, you know, highly collaborative environment, you may have a group of people who are all saying the same thing, talking about the same topic, very passionate about it. And it's clear that like everyone's sold. They love the idea, right? And they're just saying the same thing over and over again. Well, what we do is we say, hey, are we sold on this? And we raise up our hand and everyone's like, yep, we are sold. But, you know, that allows us to kind of cut that topic off a little bit and know that, hey, we're all on the same page. Let's keep moving forward so we don't waste 15 minutes all getting excited about something. And conversely, like sometimes you'll have things that go off on a tangent that are taking the meeting in a direction that it wasn't actually meant to go. And so we also have this notion of people raising hands and saying, I think this is a tangent. And that allows everyone to be like, oh, yep, that is. Let's not waste time. Let's go back, you know, refocus on the actual purpose of the meeting, which I think ensures that at the end of the meeting, what we actually end up with is we've accomplished the goal of the agenda and we've come up with the action items associated with that meeting that helps make it productive and not just, you know, people coming together where the meeting organizers sit and talk for a half hour or an hour or however long the meeting is, and there is no collaboration.
Right. Well, and I love that too, because I think, you know, when people start thinking, oh, I don't want my staff meeting to suck. Okay, what can I bring in? What can I do differently? Can I bring food? You know, do we have background music? What are the things that can make this suck less? But really, it's the people. Right? It's the relationships that you have and you as individuals and feeling comfortable with each other and, you know, you can enjoy each other's company, but you're staying focused on the goals and the intent of the meeting. And so I love that you can, you know, enjoy your time together and still be productive for work.
And to your point, and to Lynn's as well, it's those action items as well. It means something tangible is going to come out of this. We're going to walk away with a plan. And somebody is going to steward that plan. Someone is going to report back. We want to hear what happened. Who's owning these next steps? And who are we all going to ask for an update the next time this comes around?
Right. I think that's great because it goes back to what you said in the beginning of when you're starting to ask, why am I here? What's the point of this? That's when it just sucks the life out of everyone. But in your meetings, you're making sure that you know what you're going in for, that action steps are coming out of it, that someone will be held accountable for it, and there will be progress and checking back in. So I think, all of that sounds like a much better meeting. And I'm curious, typically, how long are your meetings? Because I know they're not 3 hours.
an hour or less, generally. Okay. Our quarterly meetings are the longest, and that's close to 3 hours.
Yeah.
But that's a full quarter of review and planning session, sort of all crunch together. We want to congratulate one another on the work that we did in the last quarter. We want to send kudos around the table. We want to clap ourselves on the back and be proud of what we did. And then we want to start to plan for what are we going to do in the next quarter. So those are the longest ones. And it's close to 3 hours.
Right. But that makes complete sense. 3 hours quarterly versus 3 hours weekly. I mean,
yeah, no. 3 hours weekly, I would cry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, that's just not okay. I don't work there anymore, for anyone who's curious. So you two have given us so much good insight and really a window into what's happening with the receptionist in terms of these meetings. And they do sound really enjoyable. Any other thoughts that you have about how the receptionist is unique in terms of whether it's sharing information with each other outside of those team meetings or anything else related to the team meetings we haven't touched on? Dylan, anything from you before we wrap up?
So I think the other big thing that I kind of want to mention was kind of our retro process after these meetings too. At the leadership level, what we do is we inspect and we say, what went really well with this strategy meeting? what didn't go so well that we would like to change. We also have these conversations in our one-on-one meetings with all the other employees, so we can get feedback from employees and say, you know what, this was really good, or, oh, this was a little rough, maybe we can change that. So we're constantly looking at internally to ourselves to reflect and try and make these meetings better, so that at the end of the day, we're being as productive in the meetings and feel like they're actually doing work, as opposed to just being meetings where people sit around and listen to someone talk for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. It's not just about being intentional at the front end of the meeting, but really checking back in to see how is it going and are you meeting sort of your goals and your intent. Jessica, what about you? Any final thoughts for us, or anything else that we can impart any wisdom for how to make people's meetings suck less?
Well, I'll have to back Dylan up on that. I think also having the flexibility to adjust and change based on that kind of feedback, to not say, well, we've always had this meeting, so we're always going to have it, or it's always going to be this way, to allow for that feedback and for that feedback to inform future meetings and future processes, to have the flexibility to change and adjust. Food is always important.
Right.
I think we have quite a lot of lunch meetings. I don't think anybody ever really cares when somebody's eating during a meeting, because we know that's what our schedules are like. So food always helps. And to enjoy one another, to remember that the point of being there is to collaborate. If you don't want to collaborate with your colleagues, you might be in the wrong job.
Right. I mean, sorry. Sorry to break it to you, but if you're not enjoying those meetings, you might have to look a little deeper about the people sitting at the table and if those are the ones you really want to be there with. So thank you so much to both of you. Anything else before we finish up today?
I will say one more thing. Yeah. I think it's also imperative to pay attention when you're the one calling a meeting, to ensure that you do have the right people in the room. Is the meeting you're calling, is it actually necessary to have a meeting? Or could that be accomplished some other way, by a phone call or a smaller group of people? You don't want to bring people into a room just for them to be bored to tears. You want to have the stakeholders in the room who are going to inform your process or add to what it is you're trying to accomplish. So to be mindful of when you call a meeting, what is the purpose? Do I have the right people in the room? Am I wasting anyone's time?
I love that, because you're not just there to talk to people, really make it meaningful. Otherwise, your meetings will start to tank fast. So I love that.
Yep.
This is all great insight and great advice. Thank you so much, Jessica and Dylan, for joining us today on The Check-In. We loved having you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope that you got some good insight into happiness, what we've got going on to ensure that our team and our clients are happy, and maybe what you would like to do to increase the satisfaction or measure that satisfaction for your own clients and customers. And if you'd like to check out our 2-week free trial with no credit card required, and to see what we do to make our potential customers and then customers happy, check us out at thereceptionist.com.